Hey, this is Charlie Harper, the associate pastor at Starkville First and the pastor at Connection. And I wanted to thank you for joining us for either on YouTube or on our podcast on Podbean for the work for this next series that's coming up. We are going to be talking through connections that matter the next few Sundays. Those are connections to God, connections to each other within our church community, and then connection to our neighborhood community and the world beyond. And so I am so thankful that you have decided to join and listen with us.
I'm back. We're at Connection. We're having worship at Connection. Yay. You can be happy about that. You can be excited about, I hope you're excited about that. I know I am. I told you, like, since March, I mean, like, I get to have be contemporary worship and be back in Starkville, Hail State. Thank you very much. All cool. And then you can't, and you still can't. And then we were going to in July, and then you still couldn't. But now we're here. Right? So cool. And so any pastor who starts in a new place goes, okay, what's the first thing you tell them? Right? What's the first thing you talk about? Well, I figured, you know, we call this worship service Connection. And so I thought we would talk about connections that matter. I know, right? Play on words to start the whole thing. How cheesy is that? But there are three connections that matter, and we're going to talk about those in great detail over the coming weeks and through some other things that we're working on, because those three connections, as I talk about them, I'll probably say the word connection a lot because, you know, we're talking about connections that matter at Connection so you can improve your connection with God. Yeah, you get the idea, right? Connections that matter because these three connections that we talk about over the next three Sundays really cement the mission of our church. And by that, I don't mean just down here. I mean First Methodist Starkville. If you talk to Pastor Jim, he will tell you that these are the three relationships or connections that matter too. Right? So everything that we do is geared around improving your connection with your relationship with God, which we'll talk about today, our connection with each other, preview of next week, and then connection with the world. So I've just done the thing that speakers shouldn't tell you. I've just told you the next three sermons, right? Right? So we're going to delve into the connection with God this morning, and that's one of the reasons that we practice silence and solitude, ancient spiritual tradition that we all go, I'm never that quiet, you know? That's not something I normally do. Normally, I've got 10,000 notifications on my phone and something playing on the TV. And while I'm something playing on the TV, I'm scrolling through Facebook, and poor commercials never have a chance because you're never going to see them. Commercial comes on. Oh, here we go. Right? Right? Even billboards toast because anybody riding in the car, what are they doing? They're over here, right? We're busy. Our lives are full of stuff, and we never slow down and we never stop. Until this whole coronavirus made the whole world shut down for a while. And we still haven't gotten back to where we used to be. And so we have to figure out how to worship and how to connect to God under completely different and unusual and strange masked circumstances, right? It's like, I don't know about you, but if you've not been to church since the last time we had a connection service, you understand exactly what I am saying, right? If without church, where do I turn to for spiritual stuff? And I would argue that we never really stop worshiping, ever. That you can't not worship something. Your cell phone, right? Your job, your family, you can't not worship something. And so we've got to figure out how to continuously keep our relationship and with God deepening and connecting and going further. And so the best way to do that is to look at the priorities of Jesus. Because in John 14, 20, he says that I and the Father are one. And so if I'm connected to Jesus, then I'm connected to the Father the same way. And so Jesus had a few priorities. Fortunately, we have the gospel accounts that tell us things that Jesus did. Now, this is Jesus, okay? So if Jesus needed these priorities, I assure you I do, okay? Because if Jesus needed to do some of the stuff I'm about to tell you, then I definitely need to. Because I'm not Jesus, right? You know what I mean? Like, if that's the standard, I'm not there. So if he needed it, then so do I. The first one is he would occasionally withdraw away to pray. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but he would actually pull away from the crowd, go off by himself. Sometimes the apostles would be like, where'd Jesus go? I don't know. And he'd go away to pray, usually either right before or right after performing some major miracle. It was almost as if maybe he needed to recharge a little bit. And maybe you can relate to that. But if Jesus needed to get away and have a quiet time, as we call them, then we do. But he made time alone with God, connected to the Father, a priority in his ministry walk. And it's recorded several places in the Gospels that way. The second one was, occasionally, he would do the less popular thing. He would not go with the highest demand crowd. He would actually pull away from where the energy was going. And the disciples would go, we need to stay here for a while. All these people want to meet you and see you and need to be healed and all this. And he goes, nope, me and my Father have our own agenda. We're moving on. And so his ministry, his relationship with God the Father, his mission was not connected necessarily to drawing the biggest crowd ever. He had some things to accomplish that were separate. His priority was the mission that the Father had given him. So he would draw away for quiet time. And then the one that's probably the most critical is he was continuously surrendering to the will of the Father. The big one being the Garden of Gethsemane, right? Where the night he's about to be betrayed, he's been betrayed and he's going to be arrested and he's going to be crucified that weekend and all that's going to happen. And knowing it, his prayer would probably sound like something you and I would pray. If there is any other way to do this, let's do it that way. That's essentially his prayer in the garden, right? He's connected to the Father. He's abiding in the Father. He wants to accomplish the Father's mission. But he says, any other way we could do this without torturous execution? You know? And then he peacefully says, not my will, but yours. So he made it a priority to constantly check in with the Father and go and determine and discern what the Father's will was and then surrender to that will. So if that's his priorities and that was Jesus' priorities, then I think they need to be ours too. And so when we talk about connections that matter, those are three little priorities in our spiritual life and in our spiritual rhythm of life that help us grow deeper. But I want to talk specifically about John 15 a little bit because I think, unfortunately, what we tend to do is we get this idea in our head that our relationship, and even the way I just said it, is up to us. And maybe you've noticed this in your spiritual walk, I'm not sure. But God does a lot more in our spiritual walk than we even hope or realize. That our tendency, just like our busyness and our schedule and our to-do list and our agenda that we have, we think it's up to us. And we don't feel spiritual because we haven't been able to go to church or small group. And it's like, we're not doing enough spiritually and I'm not growing spiritually because I haven't been able to. Me, I do it. The things that I do. And we feel like we're not doing enough. I want to run against that idea today and go, it's really God that does a lot more of it than you even realize. So this is John 15, a few of my favorite verses from John 15. This is 5-9, so just a small part of that little passage. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. All right, so the mission critical verse here is verse 5. Abide in me as I abide in you. And then apart from me, you can do nothing. We think, look, Jesus, look how hard I'm working for you. I'm running, I'm going, I'm doing, I'm tithing, I'm going to church, I'm going to small group, I'm serving on mission. Look how good I'm doing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. All that good stuff that we do is true and we should do it. But we really can't do it for the right reason or in alignment with God's will unless we're connected to the vine first. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We focus so much on how good we are for God, when what we need to be doing is allowing God to do good through us, if that makes any sense. Jesus' priorities were to get away and to rest and to listen and to go against the big crowd and the high productivity and surrender to the will of God. That has to be how we build our relationship too, which means it has to be a part of our do, our list. In fact, my temptation would be to give you a list of spiritual disciplines and I'll go do them so you'll be more connected to God. That would be counter to my own sermon. They do help, and I'll tell you how in a minute. But don't, I can't, if I give you a spiritual to-do list, you know what I mean? I had my quiet time today. I gave to my church this morning. I'm going to small group tonight. Spiritual to-do list. When our whole life is worship of something and directed in a certain way or another, the branch bears fruit because of the vine, not the other way around. I mean, he uses the agricultural example, right? It's not like the branch goes, hey, vine, look at all the fruit that I made this today. How is the branch ever to bear anything? By its connection. Connection. By its connection, right? Because here's the thing. It's more about story than steps. When we talk about our relationship with God. It's more about our unfolding journey with God, in the presence of God, than a list of spiritual steps you have to accomplish to become super Christian. God is writing our story. We read scriptures and we go, look all the cool stuff God used to do. And somewhere in our minds we go, why didn't he still do that cool stuff anymore? Your own story is all the cool stuff he is still doing. Jesus said, my Father is always at work. Not back then and not today. He's more present in our story than we'd ever realize. When I was in high school, I grew up in church, middle school, high school. This will tell you how old I was. My full driver's license on my 15th birthday. Yes, they had no permit system back then. 14 days, 364, you can't touch a car. You're 15, you've got full capability to go wherever you want. Does that scare you at all? But back in the day, that meant enough freedom to make mistakes. That meant a ticket to get out from underneath mom and dad's authoritarian thumb and go rip and run and do whatever we can get away with doing. And maybe you've experienced that too. And so by the time I hit ninth grade, I had a license and a car, which was a license to do stuff God would not want me to do. Right? But my wise, amazing youth pastor goes, hey, Charlie, I'm taking a group of people to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Want to go? And I was like, yeah. He goes, they'll be skiing and girls. And I said, okay, sign me up. Because I'm 15. Skiing and girls? I'm down. Let's go. So I go on this trip. Now, remember, I grew up in church. I prayed the little prayer to get the snack in church, the cookies and the juice, the bread and the juice at the end of church service. You know what I mean? Like, I prayed that prayer when I was 12 because I wanted whatever snack they're passing out in church, because at 12 o'clock, you're hungry. But I didn't have a real relationship with God, not one that was changing who I was. And so I go on this mountain trip with my youth leader because, you know, girls. And Gatlinburg, like things like Disney, are systematically capable of removing all the money from your pocket very fast. You ever been to these locations, these tourism zones? It's like everything costs money and everything costs lots of money. 15-year-old, here's $100 to last you the 4 or 5 days, go. Day two, what am I going to do? Like, we were broke, and there was a collection of me and my friends that were completely broke in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, without parental supervision. And so we kind of pulled together our last few bucks and bought water guns. Because, you know, in December in Gatlinburg, water guns, good idea. And we had a major water war at this hotel, motel, one of the outside doors, motels, outside facing doors, right? This major water fight at our motel where we were staying, and for some strange reason, they didn't ask us back the next year. But we had this major water fight. And so we're chasing each other around the balconies of this motel with water guns. And the only rule we had was no shooting in the rooms. We wanted to keep our stuff dry. We didn't care about anything else, but we had to keep our stuff dry. So if you will, our hotel rooms were kind of like base. You know what I mean? Going there, you're safe. And that's also how you reloaded. So nobody's getting squirted while they're filling their water guns back up. That was relatively smart. So there was this point where we got this one guy completely trapped in one of the corners of the turn of the building. Like, he's, like, up against the rail, and we just completely unloaded our guns on him, the three of us. I just doused him. Now, we're empty. He's not. So we run. Again, smart. We were smart like that. We run back to our room to reload, and as we were reloading our water guns, I look down, and I see this large wastebasket, trash can, next to the sink. And I get an idea. If the water gun can soak him, I know the trash can can. So we put the trash can in the tub, fill it with water, and we go to the entrance of our hotel room and we wait because we know he's coming after us and we're going to get him. And we're standing there with like a bucket that took two of us to lift full of water, December 20-something, when it's like 35, 40 degrees outside, right? And so we're standing at the doorway. We're waiting patiently for him to come down the hallway looking for us or down the outside way looking for us. And we hear the rustling of him trying to sneak up on us or wait for us to come out or whatever. And so we jump out to douse him with this trash can full of water. The problem was it was not him. It was the maid and the maid cart and the clean towels, the clean sheets, the toilet paper with a bucket of water in December. Isn't it great? Like, the maid didn't think so. You know what I mean? She's now got to go reload her cart. She's also soaking wet in December outside and having, yeah, that was not good. Not good. But that week, that was like, I was off the rails. I'm at a spiritual retreat having a water gun fight with buckets of water in December. Like, my whole life was like close to God, but not really. I mean, you see how my mind works, right? Garbage can. Let's fill that with water. I am so thankful for the influence of Jesus in my life because that would be the beginning of the way my brain works if I didn't. Does that make sense? Maybe you can relate. Like, good thing I have Jesus or I'd be somewhere you don't want to know. You know what I mean? But that week changed everything because later that night, the proverbial guy stands up on the pulpit and preaches and says, do you have a relationship with God? Now, remember, I prayed the prayer when I was 12, so I was like, I've already done the Jesus prayer thing. But then something he said, I don't even remember now what it was. It was like 35 years ago. Something he said made me go, I know who Jesus is, but there's something missing. I don't quite have it figured out. So I had this long conversation with my youth leader in our hotel room that night where I understood that it's not knowing about God. It's actually knowing God. Because if it's not just about stories, it's about stories. I almost said it backwards. It's about love more than knowledge. I'll give you an example. All of us know exactly what weight plan to follow to lose weight. Right? You don't need a nutritionist. You don't need an expert. You don't need a diet plan app. You know if I eat less carbs and less fat and more protein and less calories, I will lose weight. We all know that. Do we do it? No. I've been telling people my picture of heaven is an Oreo buffet with no calorie consequences. Right? Because as much as we know how to eat, we also know how we want to eat. Can I, right? Like, little Dewey's three trips through, you know what I mean? That's how we want to eat versus what we know to do. But what we love to do is eat. So it's not just about steps, it's about stories. It's also about love, not how much we know. Because if we know God, we all know about God. We all know how to be a Christian. We all know how to be faithful. Read your Bible, go to church, do what Jesus tells us to do. Do we do it? Nope. Because we do what we love. We do what we love. When I talk about our whole life being worship focused, what we worship matters. Where we focus our energy matters. And it matters because we do what we love most. That includes spiritual life stuff too. If I love God, it changes my life. If I know about God, it's some head knowledge I might or might not practice. See the difference? It's about intimacy and honesty more than it is perfection. This is not something you can go out and like, this week I stuck the landing. I nailed it. I had my quiet time every day of the week. I was a perfectly good Christian this week. That youth pastor who poured into me in Gatlinburg said it this way. God is more interested in your direction than your perfection. God is more interested in your direction than your perfection. Because guess what? God knows that we know too. You're not going to be perfect. But are you moving closer and closer and closer to God? Are you able to tell God everything it is you are thinking and let him have it? I'm here. This is what I am. This is what I need. Everything. Because if we're going to reach and transform others and carry out the mission of God, then our own relationship with God has to come first. I'll say it this way. The first step toward carrying God's love to the rest of the world is a step closer to God. Because the more connected I am to God, the deeper my relationship with him, the more others are going to see the story and see the relationship and see the transparency and the lack of perfection but still love God anyway is going to just pour out of who we are. But if I'm on a mission to share the gospel, you said yes, click, look how spiritual I am. Then we're not counting them as people. We're not even in a relationship with them. We're not even being loving toward them. They're like a notch on a spiritual belt. You know what I mean? But if I'm living the life that Jesus has called me to live, connected to the vine, loving him the way he loves the Father, people are going to know that. They're going to see it. They're going to be able to tell. And instead of terrorizing the hotel, you'll be helping the maid reset her cart. You know what I mean? It'll change how we respond to the world, and that'll change how the world responds to us. Because here's the really hard part. It's about participation, not control. See, if you're like, anybody like, you don't have to raise your hand, because this is like be true confession or something. Anybody a control freak about stuff, certain things? Like, you know what I mean? Everything's got to be just right. Everybody, people are looking at each other like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, controlling, like, I want to control things. We do that with our spiritual walk. We want to do the spiritual to-do list so that God will do stuff for us. If I'm a good Christian and go to church and read my Bible and participate in small group, then God will fill in the blank. Even by doing good stuff, we're trying to control God instead of allowing God to control us. Does that make sense? The third priority of Jesus was surrender, right? Even in the garden where he's facing the greatest challenge ever, his answer was, not my will, but yours. When John 15 talks about abiding, the key to abiding is surrender. And like I said, I don't want to give you a bunch of spiritual disciplines to go do because you need a spiritual to-do list. But here's what spiritual, and we don't like the word, but spiritual disciplines, what they do is they help us surrender. When I read Scripture and let Scripture tell me what it's saying versus trying to find what I want out of it, then Scripture changes me. When I sit in complete silence, which is a challenge to do now, and allow God to speak to me, I'm not in control. When I read a lectionary rhythm because whatever passage somebody else a long time ago decided this is the passage for this week, instead of me going and cherry picking only the scriptures I want to read, then I've lost control. And that freaks us out. Because sometimes we go, if I let God take charge, he might send me to a hut in Africa somewhere. You ever had that thought? Or he might make me be kind to somebody I don't really like right now. We fear letting go because we don't know what God's going to do with us. But Jesus said that is how you actually connect to the vine. The branch doesn't do anything except bear fruit because of the vine. So our connection with God means giving up. It means surrender. So here's my challenge. You guys just met me. Now you've heard a weird story about a water gun fight in December. So now you have a little window into my personality, right? Will's got a bigger window. That's why he's laughing over there. I mean, you have some connection to who I am. I don't know you very well. I don't know where you are spiritually. I don't know you. But my challenge is we have this tension between surrendering to God and taking it back. We have this tendency in our spiritual walk to go, oh, I got this. I'm doing pretty good. I'm a nice person. I'm not mean to other people. Right? I got it covered. When all God's asking us to do is to surrender and abide, to allow him to move through us so that we could bear fruit to the glory of the Father. By the way, the bearing the fruit has nothing to do with patting yourself on the back. It has everything to do with the vine, not the branch. Does that make sense? And so what happens is our spiritual life becomes this tug of war between who's in charge, Jesus or me. That's it. You want to know how to become connected to the vine? Who's in control? That's the spiritual question. That's the question I'm asking you before I pray. Who is in control of your spiritual destiny and walk? You or the vine? Jesus or your own ego? To practice abiding is to practice surrendering to the Father who's got your best interests at heart. So wherever you're sitting this morning, I don't know where you are in your spiritual walk. My call is that you would surrender again, because it is a constant thing. It's not a once when you were 12 and then again at 15. Surrender is daily. You go to the end of the day and you go, yeah, I kind of messed today up. Time to give you control again. It's a spiritual practice, surrender over and over. Let me pray for you. God, as we are sitting here this morning, I'm just getting to know folks. I'm just getting connected to folks. Sometimes I can't even see their face because of these masks. But you know our story. You know where their hearts are. You know where their struggles are. You know if they've surrendered or not. And so, Lord, this connection to you matters more than any of the other connections we could make. And so I ask that you would help us, not just with our words, not just with our knowledge, but with our hearts, say what your son said to you in Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. In your precious son's name, amen. Before you go, I have a number of announcements for you. And by the way, if struggle for surrender, almost ate the altar there. If struggle for surrender is a challenge for you, we have a cool new thing. You know, you notice you didn't get handed a connection card coming in? We have a digital connection card now. Isn't that cool? So you have permission to pull your phone out in church. I went in totally wrong order, so Lisa's going to hate me. but it's firstumc.org, the website, /my connection card. There it is. And if you just don't want to type all that out, there's a QR code up there. Your camera will actually pick that up and take you there. And you can put contact info in there. But more importantly, you can put prayer requests in there. which is pretty cool. I will see those and be able to know how to pray for you. But that's up there. And I went all out of order on the announcements. So, you know, that's how this goes. But a couple of things. One, we didn't take up an offering. It's another one of those COVID things, right? So the offering is boxes on the wall on your way out right here. If you want to give, you're welcome to give that way. That's how we're taking that up right now. Connection card, offering. We have a new little fun thing called Common Table on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. It's an online small group Bible study, which sounds contradictory, except basically cameras have watched a small group do small group. And so you can do two things with that. You can watch it for your own personal study and eavesdrop and answer the questions for yourself in a journal. Or you can get together with a few of your friends you're always around and use it as a guide. And just like, you know, it's video age now. You don't have to listen to me anymore. You can just pause, answer it for yourself, and then skip to the next question, and it'll guide your small group. So there's two ways you can use that. But that's what, it comes live on Wednesday nights at 7. But you can do that whenever your group's getting together or whenever you want to do personal Bible study. You can, like, go to YouTube and find that, or Facebook and find that sucker there. We need ushers for next Sunday. So we have not done all that recruiting. We had it all set for the summer, and then we shut down again, and we have it reassigned. So if you would like to help us facilitate seating and all that next Sunday, let me know that. Even before you leave, that'd be great. Connection has a podcast, right? We have a weekly devotional on there. The audio from church today will be on there. So if you ever wanted to, for whatever reason, listen to my sermon again because you just heard it, you could. But also the small group that I just said started on Wednesday nights, the audio is available on the podcast too. So if it's something you want to, like, listen to the Bible study while driving in your car, you can do that. And it's on iTunes. I know it's on Spotify. We're getting it to all those places. If you let me know where you listen to podcasts, we'll try to get it there too, kind of thing. And then this is really important and really interesting to say, but and most of you guys did this, which I'm so thankful. In this weird COVID world, we have to pre-register for church. I know, right? And some people pre-registered and didn't show up. But you have to pre-register for Connection, okay? In other words, go to our church website and go ahead and get your seat for next Sunday if you want to come back and get you a spot, because of distancing and seating areas, and this is not as big as the main sanctuary. We have to do it that way. But it's basically at first-umc.org/connection, the link's there for you to pre-register. And it's already live. If you want to get a head start on the rest of the world and connect and sign up for next Sunday today, you can. Does that make sense? Now, I'm going to say the announcement I've been waiting since March to say. Best of all, yes, see you next Sunday. Hey, thank you for joining us for our worship experience this morning, whether it was on YouTube or on our podcast. We're glad you were with us, and you can join us every Sunday in person for worship at the Connection Building.
The Connection Podcast is recorded live in Starkville, Mississippi, home of the Mississippi State University Bulldogs. Connection is the contemporary service of Starkville First United Methodist Church. You can learn more about Starkville First UMC on our website at first-umc.org or on Facebook at Connection UMC. You can find the video of this sermon on our YouTube page. Just search Starkville F UMC. You can also find Connection on many popular podcasting apps.